The scripture this morning is from Habakkuk. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Going to tell you the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar built a golden statue 90 feet high, 9 feet wide on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And he called together all of his satraps, all of his governors, all of his ministers, all of his judges, all of his magistrates, all of his treasurers, all of the counselors, and all of the provincial officials, and he called them to this place in order to dedicate this statue. One of the king's officials stood before everyone there and said, "All peoples, all nations, all languages, behold the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has built. When you hear the sound of the horn and the lyre and the zither and the flute and the drums and all the instruments, you are to bow down and worship this statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has erected. And if you don't, you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace." And so, at the sound of the horn and the zither and the lyre and the drums and the flutes and all the instruments, the people bowed down and worshiped. Some Chaldeans came forward. Some astrologers in the royal court, and they said, "Your Majesty, there are some Jews who have not bowed down." They wanted to find a way to condemn these three young men, and so they said they neither serve your gods nor did they bow down and worship when all those instruments were played. And so at this point, King Nebuchadnezzar was just furious. And so he said, "Call before me Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Stand over there beyond the royal instruments." And so he says, "Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I've heard that you have not served my gods, nor have you bowed down to worship this golden statue that I've erected. I'm going to give you another chance. When you hear the sound of the horns and the pipe and the zither and the lyre and the drums and the flute and all the instruments, you have an opportunity to bow down and worship. If you don't, you will be thrown into the fiery furnace." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "King, your majesty, you don't need to question me any longer because we are not going to," they said, "the God that we serve, that God will save us from the fiery furnace and will save us from your power. And just be assured of this, even if our God does not save us, we will never bow down to your golden statue. We will never serve your gods." At this point, the king's face was contorted in rage, and he called his strongest soldiers to bind them up and throw them into the fiery furnace. And so they were bound up. And in the meantime, the king was so furious, he said, heat up the furnace 7 times as hot as it was before. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. And the furnace was so hot that the king's soldiers were just consumed and died on the spot. So while the three were in there, as you can see, the king just in amazement said, look, weren't there 3 men that we threw in? He asked all the satraps and officials. I see a 4th, and it looks like the son of a god. They don't seem to be affected at all by the flames. And so King Nebuchadnezzar went toward the door, not getting too close, seeing what happened to the others. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out here. He saw them unbound, not affected at all by the flames, and the satraps and the officials gathered around, and their clothing doesn't seem to be affected. Their hair is not singed. They don't even smell like smoke. And so the king makes this declaration amongst all the peoples and the nations and the languages. May the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be praised. He has sent his messenger to rescue his servants who trusted him. They ignored the king's order. They sacrificed their bodies and because they would not serve or worship any god but their God. I now issue a decree to all of you that whoever speaks disrespectfully about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's gods will be torn limb from limb and their house made a trash heap, because there is no other god that can rescue like their God. That's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So some who have studied the scripture suggest that this story, at least in part, is a satire. It's a satire in the sense that it depicts a leader who wants to exaggerate and flaunt his glory. And some of the clues that they think it has some satire in it, written by the Jews who, seeing this king with exaggerated glory who was brought low by the glory of God, some of the clues are just the way all of those officials that came before him, the satraps and the governors and the ministers and the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, all the provincial officials, just naming all these people who come before the king and all these instruments. I'm not going to list all the instruments again, but, and all the peoples, all nations, all languages are gathering there. This gold statue, 90 feet high. Is there even enough gold in the kingdom for all that? But, just this, flaunting of all of this glory by this man. By the end of the story, he has to admit there's no God as great as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God. If I was able to interview Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'd have a number of questions for them after this story. I'd like to ask them first what it was like to live as exiles in this foreign land. They were taken from from Jerusalem to Babylon. What it was like to live in that land, but also still to have significant positions in this kingdom. You know, what was it like to deal with the jealousy and the opposition of the other homegrown leaders and important people there? And it seems like they were already facing pressure before this day. Because, you know, on that particular day, what was found at fault with them is they didn't bow down and worship. But when those Chaldeans came to oppose them before the king, they said 2 things. They said, they don't serve your gods and they don't bow down and worship. Like, there must have been already some experience where where these three men were not somehow being loyal to the gods of the Babylonians. Somehow in their daily actions, they could see that they weren't bought into the honoring and the worshiping of this culture and their gods. And maybe it's also seen in their name change. The names we know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are they're Babylonian names. Their given names are Hananiah, which means God, Yahweh, is gracious. Mishael means who is like God. And Azariah is God keeps him. All these names refer somehow to how God is faithful to them. But their new names are associated with, or they make reference to Babylonian gods. Like Abednego means a servant of Nebo, which is a god of the Babylonians. So even in giving them new names, there's this attempt to have them conform to the ways and the religion of this new land of Babylon. So it helps us to think for ourselves. Maybe we're not in that kind of elite position, feeling that kind of pressure, but what do we experience as aliens and strangers in this world? Those are that's how Peter refers to followers of Jesus, who in this world find that they're in many ways in a foreign land as they and as we try to be faithful to Jesus. When Jesus prayed for his disciples right before his crucifixion, he says, he prayed, "My disciples, my followers, they're not of this world, just like I'm not of this world." But he goes on to pray, "But I'm sending them into this world." You know, that same kind of reality that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had, being sent into this new place, still carrying, hopefully, their worship and their reverence and their obedience and loyalty to the Lord, their God, but in a place that's not home for them in that way. I'd like to ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how did you keep a strong faith in that kind of a situation leading up to this moment? You know, let alone and how did you handle this moment, but how did you keep that faith that carried you into this moment? How did you find opportunity to worship? How did you continue to maintain this sense that God's abiding presence was with you, even into the furnace? How did you get a sense that God was a faithful God? How did you maintain that in this foreign place? And did you find strength in community? Just the fact that there's three of them, just it gives me the sense that they were strong for each other. There's other stories in Daniel, like Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel refused to stop praying to his God. And it's always told singularly that Daniel was struggling with this or remained faithful. I wonder still, he must have had some sense, some community, some others who were helping to keep him strong in his faith. And again, thinking about ourselves, does our time together like this hour right now, or does our time alone with God reinforce the sense for us that God's presence is always with us, that we abide in Christ? He is the vine, we are the branches. Do we find strength and encouragement in our community here? Do we strengthen each other for our daily lives? How do we maintain a sense that God is always with us and that he's faithful to us in all things? My sharing last Sunday evening, we had a community Thanksgiving service in the Conestoga Valley area here. And the invitation was for pastors to come and share a word of thanks for their congregation for what's going on in their midst. My testimony was, this is what I'm thankful for us. We've experienced some loss and some transition this year, but, We haven't lost heart. We encourage each other. We care for each other. We're pressing in to seek God's direction. We press in to continue to hear from Scripture and to follow in the ways of Christ. We've drawn closer with our sister congregation, First Deaf Mennonite, praying together and trying to discern together. So just that sense of we strengthen each other. I gave thanks for that. Somehow Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego must have had that upheld them to that place in the plain of Dura with this statue looming over them. So now it's the day of the gathering where the King Nebuchadnezzar calls together all of his officials. And when I think about that, there's two questions I have. How full of fear were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego having to face this? And how convicted or resolute were they? When I, in my physical therapy work, we do a pain scale. I'm sure Bill's been asked this, like, how do you rate your pain 0 to 10? 0 is no pain. 10 is, I can't call the ambulance. It hurts so bad, you know? I want to do that with these two questions and just invite you to think about it. If you had a rate from 0 to 10, how full of fear you think these three men had, how full of fear they were, how would you rate it from 0 to 10? I'm gonna count from 0 to 10. When I get to your number, you can raise your hand if you want. How full of fear were they? 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Probably got higher as we went. How about how convicted or how resolute were these three men? 0 to 10. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. They're both skewed on the higher end, and I think that's true. In high intensity situations like this or times of trial, it takes a lot of courage and real intentionality to remain faithful, like these three men had. And to be able to say whether I survive this or not, and surviving might not just be with your life, but it might be, will I survive with other people having a favorable view of me? Or will I survive and still have my job? Or things like that. No matter what, I'm going to remain loyal to my God, my Savior, the way of Jesus, when my values or my ways are different than the ways of the culture, the gods of the culture around me. And I'll trust, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I know my destiny. My place is with God and with God's people, the faithful ones forever, you know, whatever happens here. I know my ultimate destiny. That's my faith. The ultimate example is Jesus facing death. You know, that willingness to face that, knowing that ultimately he had a place with God, actually a place of being the Savior of all people. But these kind of responses are nurtured in our daily lives. We can't just call it up on the spot, all of a sudden have this great courage and resolution in these really high intensity situations if on a daily basis we aren't having a sense of God's presence, making those small choices to be faithful along the way. So these three men, in fact, they were thrown in into the fiery furnace. And I'd like to ask them what it was like to find yourself in that furnace, that life-threatening event, yet you experienced God was right there with you in the form of this angel. Like you clearly could sense God's presence in the midst of that. And I wonder if you've been in that place where you're in a situation you think this can only bring about destruction or downfall or defeat or whatever it might be. Yet God was faithful to uphold you and shield you and give life through that time. So I think this story shows us that God's intervening power can be seen, especially in the midst of trusting and faithful responses of his people. that God will use that to show up and reveal his glory. So God gets the glory, but secondarily, our faith is affirmed. Well done, good and faithful servant, in the midst of that. And so we're given opportunity every day to somehow have God be glorified because we trust him and we sacrificially serve him. Somehow through maintaining our loyalty, not conforming to the ways or the gods of this world, that somehow God can move through that, through our faithfulness. But even if in whatever way there's not a redeeming ending, we know ultimately we will reward it for our faithfulness. God's close to us. God's walking with us, like in the furnace, forever, now and forever. So I just want to close with this example. Michael Sharp, maybe some of you, a lot of you might know him, a young man who he was committed to the way of peace and peace building. He worked with Mennonite Central Committee and with the United Nations. And in 2017, he was murdered in the Congo, working for peace there. He, along with another UN colleague. And he was there working for peace, and in the midst of this ongoing war that was going on there, he lost his life. It's not a story where, like in our story, there in the Congo, people rose up and said, "Praise be to the God of Michael Sharp for what's happened." You know, in his case, there wasn't a happy deliverance at the end in this life. But I would think that his faithfulness to the way of Jesus was rewarded in what he offered in his life. And I do believe that people say through that, "Praise be to the God of Michael Sharp who desires peace. Praise be to this God who desires peace, and works for that through his people, in the midst of these terrible situations around the world." And I believe God can spark, the Holy Spirit can spark in others to seek the way of Jesus through these kind of faithful responses. So in conclusion, our whole theme is be amazed, in these stories. God moves in the midst of our trials. God gives us courage and faithfulness. And out of that, God's purposes, God's glory can shine through those faithful responses that we have. So may we feel challenged by that and trust that, God is the one who, rewards our faithfulness and uses that to bring about his glory and his purposes. Amen.